Got Brother Dean McNeese with us, and Brother Dean's a dear friend of ours, has been for several years now in our church, and he's helped us. He's preached here on many occasions, and he's in town this week, so it worked out that he's able to come and preach to us this morning. So listen, you give him your attention, and Brother Dean, you come on, and you just close it out however you see fit, okay, brother?
Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis and the 24th chapter. Find Genesis 24, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll preach for a little while this morning. Our Father, we thank you for, Lord God, these young people. Thank you for the blessing and the privilege they have. God, in this hour, in this society, Lord, to be able to be blessed by God, to go to a school where the Bible is the feature. Now, Lord, I pray that you would breathe on us and touch us and help us in the next little while. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want you to look in verse 57. Genesis 24. And verse 57. They said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Now, I want to take and preach just a few minutes right here for you young people this morning and ask you this question: wilt thou go with this man? Who'll go with Jesus? Who'll take Christ? Who'll go with this man? Now, when I was in school and we had a sweetheart, we called it going together. I don't know if you still call it that or not. We never went anywhere together, maybe to the water fountain, I don't know, to the lunch cafeteria, but we called it going together. And I remember the first girl that I ever go'd together with. Went together. How would you say that? Going together. And we were actually planning on being married. And we'd planned our house and where we wanted to live. And we wanted to live in Georgia, not Alabama.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, you're just going to look at me. Okay. And we was discussing how many children we was going to have. And then the bell rang and all the kindergartners, we had to go back in our class. I started early. Well, y'all didn't get that. Okay. But we only went together between school starting and the first break because on the way back from the swing set to the classroom, I looked over at Sarah Sapp, and she twinkled her eyes a little bit. And so I broke up with Brenda Dunlap and went with Sarah Sapp for 1 hour. We were going together. Ha ha ha! I was six. It was on. And Sarah Sapp. And it's a good thing because Brenda Dunlap was the ugliest girl, not just in our school, in our state. But we all liked her, and I don't even know why. But she had a certain charm. It wiggled her nose, a leprechaun thing. I don't know. I started with the ugliest girl in the state and broke up with her. Didn't go with her no more. And then I had to break Sarah Sapp's heart. I mean, she's probably in therapy for it to this day. But because when the bell rang for the second break, Donna Twitchell. That's a weird name, ain't it? That's worse than Sapp. Twitchell. And she had a little Twitchell, but she smiled real big. I thought, man, she's sweeter than Sarah Sapp. And I had to break Sarah Sapp's heart. But right on my way to break up with Sarah, she broke up with me. So that was really bad. But that's what we used to call it, Brother Gray.
Yeah.
Going together. And I didn't go on a date till I was 20 years old and in Bible college. So yeah, I don't know why we called it going together. I didn't go anywhere. But that's what Rebecca got asked. Now, in our story in Genesis 24, Rebecca is the young woman. And in this chapter, Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And this is a glorious chapter. It's a picture of God sending the Holy Spirit to find the bride for his son.
Right.
And the great thing about being saved is you're in the church. You're in the body of Christ. And that's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
The bride of Christ. And they asked her this question. Brother Michael, wilt thou go with this man? Now, here's what I want to preach to your heart. Who's going to go with Christ?
Amen.
She chose. Because she said, I will go. She chose to go. If y'all are real good, I'll tell you my engagement story here in just a minute. It's a good one because I had a speech planned out like John Wayne. I'm going to propose to you. Hey, little lady, if you step up in this saddle, we'll ride off in the sunset together. Come on, y'all. That was pretty good. You boys be getting, you work on that, boys. It works good. You ask them in your, do you want to go with me or with that loser over there? Well, in this text, that's what is happening. And they've asked her, wilt thou go? Wilt thou go? And it's a picture that God gave us. And every sinner, every boy and girl, every child ever born into this world is born a sinner.
Right.
And at some point you've got to make it. You've got to determine what you're going to do with Christ.
Amen.
Will thou go with this man? Now, I got 3 points. I got 3 things, okay? I see y'all taking notes.
Yep.
A bunch of you taking notes. 3 things. There are 3 questions she had to answer. There are 3 questions. And I believe it's 3 things that the Holy Spirit deals with every sinner about when God's dealing with your heart. Now, I'm aware this morning, with all these youngins in here, there ain't no telling who God is after
right. This
afternoon.
Right.
There ain't no telling who God's after. There's 3 things you're going to have to look at. Y'all got your Bibles? You guys still got them open? Genesis 24. The servant has found her. The servant was sent by the Father in verse 1 and 2 and 3. And so here he's sent and he goes and he finds her in verse 15 and verse 16 and 17. And in verse 22, let's pick it up there. Verse 22 says, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that, I'm going to turn this on, brother. I've not been on the whole time. That the man, where y'all at? Where'd y'all go? Come back here. Verse 22. And it came to pass, as the man had done drinking, the camels. As the camels had done, that man ought to move over and let them camels get a drink. You know what? That is not nice of him to drink their water. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And say it, now he is wooing her with jewelry. Amen. Somebody's been to Jared's. Is that the right commercial? Every handshake begins with K's. The man took a golden earring and half a shekel, and he began to woo her. You give her some jewelry, she's going to like you. You two boys need to write that down, y'all. Need to write that down. You give her some jewelry, she's going to like you. And this is how the Holy Spirit does. When he comes and to the sinner, he shows you the good things of God. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance.
Right.
The grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the cross of Calvary. Hey, look up here. I'll throw something at you. Now, the next verse, she's asked two questions. And it's the questions you're going to be asked. What does this say? What does this say? Verse 23. And he said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" There's the first two questions. The next question we already read, it's way over there in verse 58. These are the first two questions you're going to encounter. Whose? Does it say, whose daughter art thou? Whose art thou? Brother Michael, that's the first thing that the Holy Ghost asks the sinner is, whose are you? Who do you belong to? The young people look up here, and we've laughed. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the most serious thing that I'm fixing to ask you that you'll ever consider in your lifetime. Whose are you? Amen. You either belong to Jesus or you belong to Satan.
Right.
It's one or the other. You either belong to the Lord or you belong to the devil.
Amen.
You either are headed for heaven or you're headed for hell. Amen. Whose art thou? And notice it didn't say, who are you, but whose. Now you belong to somebody.
Amen.
And if you're a child of God, you belong to Jesus.
Right.
And you ought to lay down your life to love him and serve
Amen.
Him. But if you've never been saved, then you belong to Satan. You belong to Lucifer.
Right.
And you're going to, you'll end up in the lake of fire, the hell that was created for the devil and his angels. God never created hell for man. He created him for the devil. Whose art thou? Are you a slave of sin? Are you a slave of Satan? Who do you belong to? And then he asks the second question. Do you have room? Do you have room for us? Is there room? Now that takes us to the, reminds us of the Christmas story, don't it? Is there any room in the inn? And when Christmas time gets here, and they sing the song, there's no room in the inn. Is there room for him? No room. And that's what I want you to dwell on that for a little while. Whose are you? And is there any room? Do you have any room for Jesus? I was going to preach up in Maryland, up near Washington, D.C., some time ago. And they had some big event. I don't remember what it was. Some big event. And there wasn't any motel rooms. They couldn't put me in a motel room. And this pastor had a lot of poor people. And he didn't want to put me in. None of them had an extra room in their house. And he said this. He said, "I don't have a room for Brother Dean and his family. There's no room for him." And then he said the Holy Ghost told him there's one room that he could have to stay in. He could have your bedroom. He could have your room. And that pastor called. We drove into town, me and my wife and babies and all the suitcases and luggage. And they took us in their house and gave us their bedroom, master bedroom with the bathroom. Changed the sheets. That's a good thing. You ought to see the places they keep some evangelists. We stayed in a big house in Alabama. Sorry, everybody from Alabama, but that's where it happened. If you're from Alabama, raise your hand. All right, just one boy and one girl. Y'all need to marry each other because you're from Alabama. It's the will of God. You're not. Are you cousins or brothers or sisters? Then don't marry. Okay, now I'm totally confused. We went over to Alabama. They took us in their house and said, "You're going to stay in our daughter's bedroom." We got in there and the bedroom was about as big as that songbook. We got in there. You couldn't change in your Superman outfit in a phone booth. It was that. It's a true story. She had black sheets on her bed, this girl did, and black covers. And she had a white cat that stayed in there with her. Y'all don't know where this is going to be. That's a nasty room. There was white cat hair on everything. You could see it. I woke up in the middle of the night sucking cat hair down my throat while I was snoring. The stinking cat, it whipped potty on our suitcase before we got out of there, too. You still smell it to this day. I spent the rest of the week in that house preaching for that man trying to step on that cat and act like it was an accident. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Meow! I'd sit down on it by accident on purpose. Meow! Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for a 300-pound man to sit on your cat. Meow! So when we walked in that pastor's house, he said, "You're staying in our bedroom." And I was glad that it was clean. He walked in there and he began to cry. And he told us. He began to cry. And he said, "The Lord dealt with my heart and told me that there was one room that the preacher could have, and it was our room." And you know that innkeeper that night, that famous Christmas story? He said, "There's no room in the inn, and there was no room anywhere in that town. Jesus had to be born in a barn." I want to ask you something. There was one room that the innkeeper could have gave him. Could have gave him his own room. There's one life that Jesus can have. It's your life. There's one body that he could have. Hands that he could use. Feet that where he could go, where he needs to go. Eyes that could read the word of God, ears that would hear the voice of God. There's one that he could use you. Do you have room for him? You got room for him? Or do you want to live your life selfish? You want to go live a life of sin? Hey, some of you are determined to live a life of sin. And I'll be honest, there ain't a thing we can do about it. Until you want God, until you want Jesus, until you want to turn from your sin to Christ, there's nothing we can do about it. Do you have room for him? Wilt thou go? Wilt thou go? Whose are you today? Do you have room for Jesus? They put that jewelry on her, and then they proposed, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." All right, y'all been good, so I'm going to tell you my engagement story. How many of you girls want to hear it? Oh, it's sappy. You may cry. This dude right here wants to hear it. God bless you, son. He needs to. You look like you need to hear an engagement story. You boys taking notes? All right. Hey, you need to take notes too, pal. Who are you laughing at? You definitely need to take notes. Man, did y'all find the ugliest boys in Rootville and put them on this bench? Is that what happened? Don't worry, boys. All them girls behind you are secretly in love with you. The whole pew right there. Let me tell you the story of how I got engaged. I was pastoring. I was 21. Hey, I'm right up here. I was 21 when I started pastoring. I was still finishing Bible college. A little church out in the country called me to be the pastor. And I went out there and I didn't have a wife. I was still finishing Bible. I was in my junior, senior year of Bible college. And they said, "Brother Michael," they said to me, "don't you think a preacher ought to have a wife?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Y'all find me one and I'll marry her." Well, that was a mistake because this church was in the swamps of North Florida. They started bringing these swamp girls out of the swamps. Looked like somehow toads and alligators got involved. That was some... I mean, one girl come in and her eyeballs wasn't here. They was on the side of her head looking out that way. I want to be able to look a woman in her eyes, not go around the side of her head and look at her. I said, "Yeah, you boys really ain't that ugly, but they really are in love with you." I said, "All right, just... enough for the swamp girls. We'll just wait on the will of God," which is what I was doing anyway. And I sat there, and the Holy Ghost had already given me a promise.
And the promise was, just like the little story of Ruth in the Old Testament. He said to me, he said, "You're Boaz, and I'm going to bring Ruth to the corner of your field." And one day, Miss Jennifer walked in. I was pastoring and preaching. People's getting saved in that church. And had a young lady in our church named Amy, and she married a boy named Davy. Amy and Davy. And they got married, and Amy had a sister and brought her to church, and it was Jennifer. She had on a black dress with white polka dots. I remember it to this day. And she walked in and she sat in the back corner. And I'm telling you, I'd met her at a wedding just earlier, and the Holy Ghost told me, "There's Ruth." Well, I didn't even know it, Brother Gray. She wasn't even saved. She wasn't even raised in a Christian home. She came to church for 4 Sunday mornings. And I found out she worked at Walmart. Guess where I ended up having to go every day? Nope, Dairy Queen. Yeah, Walmart. Dairy Queen is just because they got ice cream. Yep, I had to. Turns out I needed something from Walmart every day because I got Twitter pated. I got heavily, I just smashed. I was in love. Woo! I need to run back home right now and just give her a smooch. Yes, I do. And wait till you get married before you start that smooching. She's sitting back there. The Holy Ghost said, "She's the one." I said. Now, sir, you're sitting in the corner, but I ain't in love with you, okay? All right. There ain't no Twitter pacing going on right here. He said, "She's the one." Well, girls, this is a true story. I went to Walmart one day for toothpaste, and I had 3 tubes at the house, but I needed to be at Walmart. I was down there with the boy, and I put on my cool jeans. You know that favorite pair of jeans that you get? And they're so cool that when you get up in the morning, they just stand up and walk to you. You wore them so many years. You don't even put them on. They just crawl up on you. I put on my cool jeans. And it was summertime, but I had this sweater that I looked really good in, I thought. And it was a purple, and I put on a sweater and shoved it up so she could see the muscles in my forearms. Now, mind you, I'm a pastor of the First Baptist Church, but I had to look cool for this girl. I go down there in my sweater. And later on, she told me she thought I was crazy for wearing a sweater in summer. But I told her it must have worked. I'm standing in line. Got my purple sweater on, even though it's July in Florida. I'm holding this too. There's 12 people in her line and 3 other cashiers just standing there with nobody. The manager comes by. "Sir, you can go to this line." "No, sir." I said, "This is the toothpaste line. I'm staying here." He looked at me like I was crazy, and he went away. So I come back the next day and bought a toothbrush to go with the toothpaste, even though I had 3 toothbrushes. I stand there. Wore the same sweater and the same jeans because they're cool looking. And when I got up to her in line, I laid that. I had that sweater pulled up like halfway to here. I just laid it up. "How are you doing, little lady? I need some Colgate. You need a husband?" Turned out that wasn't a real good line, but I mean, it was, you know. It was just... Every day I went to Walmart, and every Sunday morning she'd come to church. On the 5th Sunday, she came back Sunday night. And she's sitting on about the 4th row right here. And a preacher's daughter named Nancy Davison was singing, "I want us to go to heaven together. I want to walk." And she sang that beautiful old song, "I want us to be in heaven together." She was singing that song. And Jennifer started bobbing her head up and down. Looked like a catfish in the pond. The Holy Ghost had her hooked. Drawing her. She went to crying. That head went to bob. She knew she was lost, never been saved. Sister Janet Norman, one of the old church mothers, leaned over and whispered something to her, and here comes Jennifer running down to that altar. And she slid in right here, and she got gloriously saved. She squalled and cried and shouted, God saved her. I bought her a Bible, took her on a date, baptized her, and started courting her. Woo! I'm getting Twitter painted again just thinking about it. And finally, the time came, and we went to get engaged. She didn't know it. I bought her a diamond ring. I don't think she knew it. We looked at diamond rings for 2 months. You think that was a clue? See, I guess she figured it out. I had it in my pocket. And on a church Valentine banquet, a church sweetheart banquet, and she had on a beautiful purple gown. She's trying to match my purple sweater, probably, now that I think about it. And I had on my suit, and I forgot to get her a croissant, a flower, but because I had that ring. And she is upset about not getting a flower until she got the ring. And I'm the pastor now. And I waited for everybody to leave that night after the sweetheart banquet. I wanted to take her to the altar, to the very spot where she got saved. Because that night, I was sitting up here. She got saved, and she was kneeling down there. And I wanted to kneel down there and set her up there. Well, I thought everybody's going to get done with the banquet at 9 o'clock and go home. And guess what the crazy women at my church decided to do? They decided when they cleaned up from the banquet that it'd be a good time to do some spring cleaning. It's a true story. They went to cleaning that church. I was trying to run them off. They just all got to work and thought it'd be a good time to do some spring cleaning. 11 o'clock, they're still in there. Couldn't get anybody to clean the church for 6 months. The one night I need them gone, they all want to clean. I was about ready to fire all of them. True story. I took her on a little ride in my Chevy pickup, went and got a Diet Coke, trying to kill time. She didn't know I was going to propose. Come back to the church, and they're all finally leaving. And an old friend from years gone by dropped in on me at 11:30 at night. He's a missionary. He was in town, passing through. Didn't even live there. He's passing through. He drops in, and he was my best friend back then. Hey, man, I want his presence. I was like, hey, best friend, go away. Be gone. Finally got rid of him. Came back in that church. And I said, come in here. And I sat her down right there. And I got down on my knees. And I pulled that ring out. And my speech was this. My speech was going to be, and you've already heard it once, but you boys need to hear it again if you're going to work. You need to work on this. Hey, little lady, with your best John Wayne voice. You want to step in the saddle with me and ride off in the sunset? Sunset. It'll be a sight. Sunset. Forget it. Y'all are all messing it up. But when I got on my knees, I got so blessed and got so happy, started crying. And my proposal sounded like this. I don't know. I love you. It's a baby. It's a wonder she ever even spoke to me again. And my nose started running. I was crying. But it made the ring real slippery, and it went right on her finger because it like had snot and mucus on it. Like, guys, remember that. And it'll go right on. It just went right on her finger. Well, she started crying. And I said, I wanted to put you right on the altar where God put us together. And this is where Jesus proposed to you, and you came to him. And it's where I'm going to propose to you. And she said, I will go. Not long after that, I gave her 2 months to plan a wedding. Then she said, I do. Now, I've told you that story to get you to think about something. There's going to come a time in your heart and life, and it may be today, that Jesus is calling you. Will thou go with this man? I don't want to ask, who are you today? Hey, I don't want to ask, who are you? I want to ask, whose are you? Do you have room for Jesus? Or are you going to tell him like the innkeeper, there's no room for you here, and send Jesus to a barn? Jesus needed to be born that night, and he had no room for him. You need Jesus to be born in your heart. You need to be born again. Can that happen in your heart, or are you going to send him away? Wilt thou go with this man? The youngins, it's all the difference in the world. You look at me, I'm done. There's a heaven above. Right beyond that blue sky, there's a heaven. And Jesus, the Son of God, has died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for your sins. Do y'all understand that? If you don't remember nothing today, you remember that Jesus shed his blood. He died for your sins. 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 If you believe that, run to him. He can wash away all your sins. What kind of life do you want to have? She married Isaac and she had a heavenly life. At the end of that chapter, they got on the camels and rode off together. It's not quite a John Wayne horse, but it's it's a camel. Rode off in the sunset with Isaac, and she got to join the family of God. Now, what do y'all want to do? Wilt thou go with this man? Do you have room for him? Whose are you? I'm going to pray. Brother Greg, I want you to come up here with me. I'm going to let you give the invitation however you want to. If somebody wants to make some music or however you want to do it, Brother Greg. I want y'all to bow your heads. I want everybody to stand. Let's stand, and I'm going to bow my heads. I'm going to pray. Our Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came and died for us. Thank you that the Holy Ghost came to us just like that servant came to Rebecca. Thank you that he began to question me. Whose are you? Do you have room for me? Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, God. Now, Lord, we've told a couple of funny stories, but there's nothing funny about eternity. There's a hell below. Right below the crust mantle of this earth, there is a hell. But there's a heaven above. And the Lord Jesus has died for our sins. Not so we could go to heaven, but so we could go to God. And in going back to our God, through the blood of Jesus, we can be redeemed and reconciled, regenerated, rescued. Father, I pray you'd work in these youngins' life. I pray you'd do a work that only you can do. I love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. I want you to stand with your heads bowed, Brother Greg.
Thank you. Jesus.